What's up? This is the Sisters in Therapy podcast. I'm Dr. Mercedes, LMFTS.
I'm Dr. Brittany Harrell, LPC.
I'm Dr. TK, LMFTS.
We are inviting you to be a part of our thoughtful, passionate conversations about all things life as it relates to mental health, because everything relates to mental health.
But more importantly, we're here to inspire you to love yourself and others.
This is a podcast where you'll get dope sessions, no copay, and keep in mind that this podcast is not meant to be a replacement relationship with a mental health professional. Now, let's get into the session.
What's up, y'all? We are back with another session of the Sisters in Therapy podcast. The title of this session is called Finding Your Tribe, and we are doing this session because we've been seeing a lot of our clients come in and talking about having a hard time finding their circle, their people, their friends.
Yeah.
How often are y'all hearing people say this in a therapy room?
It's hella consistent. And I always feel bad because I feel bad because people yearn for community, especially when they're transplants in a city that they're not from.
Right.
It ends up being a hard transition. And I think we underestimate that transition from college to adulthood.
Right.
The access to people is not the same.
And we're not the same.
Right.
So I think that's a big part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually think that there is a difference between a tribe and a community. I have that in my notes.
Okay.
But I'm going to define tribe as a group of persons with a common character, occupation, interests, and values and beliefs.
Okay.
And I think that over time, all of these things changes for us. So then we're obviously going to have to find different tribes, or we're going to lose connection with certain people. And I think all of that means that we're going to be growing. And sometimes when we grow, it's not necessarily embraced by tribes that we're already in.
Absolutely. I think that's a big part that we need to dive a little bit deeper
okay.
into, because when we talk about how finding your tribe comes up in the therapy room, I think that's one key point, which is, I used to have a tribe.
Yes.
Or I thought this was my tribe.
And it may have been.
And it may have been, absolutely. But this is what they felt this was. Mm-hmm. But now it's not, or it's not fitting anymore. So how do you usually handle that whenever someone comes in with that kind of, I guess, perspective?
Immediately what I do is bring out the values clarification worksheet, which is my favorite thing to do, because a big component of finding a tribe or a space in which you feel comfortable or safe is knowing who you are first.
Right. Yeah. That's a deep one.
What's important to you?
Mm-hmm.
I find that a lot of people haven't put their values in perspective. And I can't say that I always have had my values in perspective, but I knew what was important to me. But have I ever just wrote and listed, like, these are my values, like community, physical health, mental health, safety, respect. You know, these are some values of mine.
If we rewind it back a little bit,
okay.
Do you feel like clients are even in touch with why they are feeling a disconnect from their current community?
Oh, yes.
They do know. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do they kind of identify as some of the key things that made them feel like, I guess at once it was their tribe, but
I'm going to call it
not a good fit.
I'm going to call it a rise in consciousness. And I'm going to say that because people are becoming more self-aware about how they feel about the world and the things that are happening that are bigger than them. And so when they find themselves in small spaces with friends and they're like, you don't care about this. And people are like telling them, I think we talked about it in the last session a little bit about like people saying, you know, why you care about that? They don't have nothing to do with you. So that's one thing I have found people to find frustration with, is when they're saying, I'm going in there, they're not talking about nothing. There's no substance. So I'm going to say maybe an intellectual disconnect.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Brit?
Same. And I would say a part of that is recognizing the incompatibilities.
Yeah.
What's even, it's hard to it's a hard pill to swallow, right? Because then there's a grieving element to it that we don't really realize until it starts happening. And then the person begins to question, okay, why am I feeling this way when I've known these people for so long? We used to be super tight. But the vibe is different. And like you said, like you're a different person from college. For those who've gone to college, you're a different person from college to now you're an adult. You're always different at every stage anyway. But it is hard to reckon with when these are people that have been a part of your routine, but you're different now.
I think something that I see that you guys haven't hit on, because I've seen all of those as well.
Okay.
But another aspect that I see is maybe this is still your tribe, or these people are a part of your community, but because you've aged and because you are in different areas in life and personality wise, there are ways that you are living that they are not.
Right.
Mm, okay.
But they still have really good relationships and they love these people. Mm-hmm. But then they kind of, there's this comparison of, am I doing something wrong? Because mm-hmm. I don't want those things. Mm. Whether that's a marriage, whether that's a baby, whether that's a certain type of job. They're like, I don't want to get up and do an 8 to 5. I like to start at 10. But the community that they've built or the tribe that they've built doesn't really operate that way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's hard to reconcile with of I'm in a really good standing with these people, mm-hmm. but also so many pieces of my key life are mm-hmm. different.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My mom actually prepared me for that when I was in college. She pretty much like, it is great. I love that you have these close relationships. Mm-hmm. I just want you to be aware, not to scare you, but mm-hmm. things will change as you get older. Mm-hmm. And it's not usually anything personal to you. It's just everybody's, your life just ends up departing in different ways. Mm-hmm. And there's no beef.
It's not perfect.
Just like you said, there's marriage, there's moving, it's just an assortment
of things
that ends up dividing the group or the friendship, really.
So many times we don't get that preparation talk for the changes that come with life and relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. This is echoing the grief and loss session a little mm-hmm. bit. And also, I would take it a step back even further for me. Probably high school mm-hmm. is where I first experienced like the loss of a tribe. Mm-hmm. Because high school, I was pretty much like the same way I am now, like a girl's girl. Love having a whole bunch of friends. But we obviously all graduate high school and go our separate ways.
Yeah.
And I guess my experience was going off to college and then being one of the only people to go off to college and then come back to be treated differently because you went off to do something differently.
Yeah, that's big.
That is an actual common theme amongst Black people. Mike Epps just talked about it on one of the podcasts, and I was talking to Takesha about it earlier about how, you know, he was speaking from his standpoint of obviously leaving his neighborhood and making it and being famous and successful, but not being able to enjoy it because he was having survivor's remorse. And when he go home, these people who were his friends were not happy for him. His tribe was not happy for him. So he was like, they liked me better when I was down and out before I had the things that I want to have.
And there was sadness because that's not something that you plan for. Because I thought they would be happy for me.
I've heard multiple Black men talk about this. Rappers. Meek Mill has talked about this. And I have Black men in my therapy sessions. Yo Gotti has talked about this. Mm-hmm. I have Black men in my therapy sessions who have also talked about this and how they're finding it hard because they grow and you have, absolutely. And you're supposed to.
Right.
But then there's a guilt for growing.
But because it's not always embraced by your tribe once you start doing things differently.
That's true.
That's us as Black people. But sometimes we do that.
Absolutely.
What can you do with that, really? I don't know.
That's a tough
part,
one.
It mm-hmm. really is. And I think a part of, and I, as you were talking, I was really sitting and wondering, like, I don't know if, I could be wrong, but I don't mm-hmm. know when I've been in different communities, I don't know if my thought was, I hope I know this person forever. I don't know if I thought about it that way.
I don't think we think about knowing them forever, but we don't think about them being mad at us for doing something that we really wanted to do.
Oh, no,
for something that's good.
Or something that's good
for us.
And it may be different because we all grew up differently. You may not have experienced that, but I know I've experienced it where people mm-hmm. come to you who you were friends with and they say something like, oh, you think you're better than me? And I literally have not had that thought.
Yeah.
Or they'll come to me and they'll say like, oh, or they try to pick a fight because I used to fight. I've grown.
You've grown so much.
I've grown.
So I don't
fight anymore. And so people would, when I go home, people would like try to pick a fight with me. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. So they're trying to show me that, no, you really haven't grown. You're still the same. That's a part of the struggle of coming, I guess you could say, from the hood and trying to change yourself. Mm-hmm. Not that you're not like those people anymore. You just did something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you pretty much are getting judged for it, and that is like the first loss for me, loss of tribe for me. That was the first loss of tribe for me.
Do you address that grief portion?
Back then, no, but now I know that's what it was. I was trying to convince people that I did not think I was better than them because I didn't think I was better than them.
Yeah.
So how do you now that you've went through it and mm-hmm. you know what you did, what worked, what didn't work, mm-hmm. how do you navigate that with clients?
Fuck them old people.
She said it here, folks.
In a therapeutic way, I address it by basically bringing it back to your values, your alignment, and it's not personal, it's alignment. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is like being so like, I don't know what to call it, like loving Black people enough to know that you don't even know why you're mad at me. So me not even really just trying to take it personal, that's me today recognizing like, right. I love Black people enough to know that, bro, you really need to go love yourself, because why are you mad at me for trying to do something different?
Right. And even for like helping clients work through it in therapy, it's also like helping them rationalize the why. Right. Yeah. Like if you consider the reality of the situation, break it down. Why mm-hmm. is this person, are they mad at you or are they mad at themselves?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. So it ends up not being about you, but it's hard because it's hurtful.
Okay. But you cannot take it. It sounds like we're saying we cannot take it personal and we can find a way to have empathy for.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. But if I'm speaking to like a rapper or let's say Mike Epps, he started self-sabotaging mm-hmm. just to stay to prove that he was still yeah. that person. So he was sabotaging what he was trying to work for.
Do you have clients trying to do that?
It's mostly like the Black men who are trying to just like the guys that I work with, because it's important to them to be respected by people in their old neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really, and I understand. Mm-hmm. So it's mostly like, they're like, I go there, but they're like, I'm uncomfortable.
And what's really messed up is like it's almost life or death for them.
For them, yes, I agree. I would have to agree. And I've thought about that multiple times among some rappers that have even been murdered and things like that.
They can't go back to their old neighborhoods a lot of times. Yeah.
Just that, but it also sounds really isolating. Because then if you do think about spaces for adult Black men who maybe came from the hood or are trying to do something different now, if you can't go back home,
where are you supposed to
and be? You probably got limited space. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That you feel at home or that you feel like you, because you might get a degree or you might get this and that, but you still who you are.
Right.
Right.
And so.
See, they don't understand that those things, the accolades are not really tied to our identity. This is something that we had goals that we've set and we're accomplishing them. It does not change who I am as a person, who I am to you.
Right.
Now, for Black men, though, they are making better decisions. So they might not want to do said activities anymore. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing for them, bro. I can't do that. This is going to sabotage where I'm headed.
Right.
Consequences are real.
So
I got things to lose.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that part.
Yeah.
So I find it really hard and to work. I don't find it hard for me, but I find it hard trying to help my clients see like those are not your people. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
That is hard.
That is hard.
Because then we're talking about finding your tribe. So then it comes to,
yeah,
how do you make that transition?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I know even on the grief part of losing an old tribe,
mm-hmm.
how I would probably address that would be being kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That self-compassion of asking yourself, are these things that you accomplished,
mm-hmm.
are they hurtful? Are they hurting your people
right.
that you want to be a part of your tribe or that mm-hmm. were a part of your tribe? Mm-hmm. Or are they hurting you now or are they benefiting your life? And just to validate for them that these are good things, because I think that there can be some grief and shame that come with even wanting to achieve.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
This is supposed to be an okay thing.
Right. Yes.
It's okay to want to take care of yourself in a way that doesn't harm you or the people around you.
Right.
That's supposed to be okay.
I agree.
Yeah.
It is supposed to be okay. Maybe.
No, I was going to say, I think community or finding it, I don't know, I just feel like we've lost that recipe a little bit, and I think maybe social media plays a factor.
I think we like to blame social media a lot.
Well, I'm saying like it's reality versus what's not real.
Now that part is true, mm-hmm. but people have been going through things like this
in regards for sure.
to trying to elevate, and somebody from where you're from saying no, come on back. Are they jealous? What LeBron said is jealousy. He talked about it as well. Like, he like, everybody knows somebody in their old neighborhood that really like can't stand, like they just can't stand the sight of you. It's just jealousy and envy and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you might be right about like the what's real versus what's not with social media.
Yeah, for sure. Because I don't know, social media is not real. It's a facade. It's meant to look perfect and pretty.
Aesthetically pleasing.
Right, exactly. But it is unfortunate when there is that unexpected transition from, I thought y'all were my people, but y'all not really happy for me though. I'm confused.
Yeah.
And you know what? That saying, people love to see you doing good, but not better than them.
Yep.
That usually applies to the situation to where, I don't know, you can sometimes sense it
mm-hmm.
when a person likes to keep you in that box that makes them comfortable.
We call it something. Don't we call it crab in the barrel mentality or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we, though, as Black people, have to be aware of, like, how we got to be this way about, like, oh, being jealous of the next Black person because they are successful or more successful than what we think we should be, mm-hmm. or we think we should be on their level. We tend to do that a lot amongst each other, mm-hmm. and just criticize people for doing well and finding every little thing to say about them. We do that a lot.
Where did
it come from? Oh, I already know.
Where did it come from?
White supremacy.
Yes.
And I think we view things as a competition. Like, oh, girl, people yes. can't just have their own lane and they feel like they have to.
Because at one point it was.
You're right. It was. You're yeah. absolutely correct. At one point it was. And what point are you speaking of?
Slavery, mm-hmm. after slavery, Jim Crow. Like, there were limited spaces. And so right. now we still hold that. And there still is limited right. spaces in some spaces. Right. And so we do have a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
We have a scarcity mindset. That is facts.
Yeah.
But we have to get, we have to put ourselves in a position to unlearn all of the white Absolutely. Supremacy behavior that we exhibit on a day-to-day basis as Black
people. For
sure. People.
And that's an active, because it's so internalized, and white supremacy does its job so well.
And then we don't do even, it for them.
Correct. And we don't even realize that it's in, like, the smallest detail to how we interact with each other,
yes.
to food, to how we, a lot of
we perpetuate
things.
It.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so how do we get out of that?
I think we got to identify it as a problem first.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We would have to identify it as a problem.
Because when you get used to something, do you know that it's a problem?
I think that, so as of right now, what's really popular amongst Black people is sitting down with mics and cameras Ooh. And putting it on social media, kind of like we're doing. So I think maybe people should start using these platforms to have real conversations versus conversations.
What if that is their real conversation?
Child, then.
Are doomed. We doomed, guys?
We're doomed.
Where are you getting your information from?
Right. and you know what's crazy, though? Even with that point, it's hard to decipher. Does this person really think this, or is this just propaganda to be popular and to make money?
No, they really do be thinking it. I'm sorry, but the podcast bros are real with their thoughts that they're sharing.
Say it.
That's crazy.
That is what they thinking, and that is that's what they feel. That's a safe space for them to go on there and share everything, not just podcast bros, because there are women too who, yep, and people so. Might think that we're absolutely doing foolishness with what we're sharing.
I disagree.
I do too. We're very responsible people. We care about the community that we are a part of, and we care about something bigger than us. Mm-hmm. And the message is for Black people to be well, but all people to be well, because affirmative action and all that.
And all that.
Now, I will say, like, we're not always supposed to agree, right?
Oh, 100%.
I think we can invite all types of conversations. I only have a problem when a person just talks just to talk. You're not interested in hearing other sides to balance the perspective. That's the only time where I'm like, all right, you might as well just shut up then.
Right.
Why are we even here?
But that's because those people don't have the emotional stamina or intellect to even go right. there with you. They don't have it at all. That's why they invite who they invite on their podcast. For sure. Also, but we've got to come back to
rewind
tribe.
We do. Yes, rewind the bed a little bit. So what do you usually do? How do you, Britt, help people start to identify their tribe? Mercedes, I know you said that you start with values.
Mm-hmm. Self-exploration. I think this is a That's beautiful a big moment. You asked Brittany, though, but you said
go ahead.
But this is a time for you to explore oneself, because there's been a shift. Mm-hmm. If you are starting to feel like you're outgrowing your tribe, then there's been a shift in you. So sit with it and explore, okay, what has changed? What am I looking forward to? Mm-hmm. So then you can start to develop your interest and your belief system and your values, and kind of go that way in regards to looking for maybe places and spaces that align with that.
Yeah, mine is rather similar. I always encourage my clients to self-explore, because once you know what your hobbies are, separate from or divorced from the mm-hmm. tribe that you're kind of not really feeling mm-hmm. connected to, I think that's when people can find spaces to go in. But I don't know how this is going to translate, but I always tell my clients, like, I don't want you to go in, oh, I'm going to meet my best friend.
Right.
Go in with, this is just just be open to the experience. And if you go consistently, then relationships can be developed as a result. Mm-hmm. But there's always just go for the experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if we go in with I'm going to meet my best friend, and you already pinpoint somebody, you can go in there and be like, how can I shift to be
twin
more like this person? Hello.
And there's a little bit of a manipulation factor to that, but we won't go there.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah.
I missed it.
What?
The manipulation factor.
As far as like,
you try to shift and bend to be.
Oh, but then you're not being authentic.
Friend. Exactly. Correct. But we're going to come back to that one.
Yeah. Oh, that could be it. Okay, that's the topic.
That's the next one.
And that's fact. Anyway, stay tuned.
So, Sakisha, how do you help your clients begin the process of finding their tribe?
I think it's that I usually go back because I like to look at, because I'm solution focused. I'm looking at like what works, what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So I'm wanting to know, help me see from your perspective when you're with your old tribe, what feels different, what feels off, so that you have a better,
clear
cut perspective on what is working for you and what's not.
Yeah, I like that because that goes back to your point earlier when you said, like, it doesn't mean that you have to totally strip this tribe.
Right.
You get to just categorize it differently and you just operate in it differently.
Yeah, but so the thing is, though, sometimes, well, for me, if I'm around people who I am trying to get to know and they start using some words that I don't use that are very, like, gender attacking or...
That's different.
Or something like that, or just some... really cringy things, that's when I have a hard time mixing and mingling with new people. Like, I know who y'all are. We disagree on some things, but for the most part, there is so much alignment here that I know 100%, and I'm going to say this, I know 100% that I'll never have to worry about neither one of you calling another woman big back, and I never have to worry about you guys saying, I need to unbig my back. Yeah, I don't ever have to worry about either one of you saying that.
Yes, nasty.
But in some spaces, I do hear women say this. I'm like, ugh.
I don't like it at all.
So that's, I think.
It's not okay.
It is not okay. But that's a barrier to some women finding their tribes. Because for me, I think that may be a little extreme for some people. They may think I take stuff too serious. But no, ma'am, I don't want to hear you hate on yourself or another woman.
Possibly. But if they're doing that and they're just doing it to themselves, you might not be besties with them. But you might say, you a bomb ass workout partner, or I can go run with you. Yeah, because you keep me on pace with this, or you challenge me in this area, or you bring this other thing to this one part of my life.
Right.
So I can be in that space.
But that's, and that goes back to what I made a note about community versus tribe. Because I feel like a person who is in my tribe can be also part of my community. But people who are part of my community are not necessarily part of my tribe. That's what I have deciphered for myself. Because the community...
The tribe is the besties.
Yes. For me, these are my people. The community, these are common interests, common activities, common things that we do together. But as far as my tribe, that may not be it. I'm going to bring up things in my tribe that I'm not going to bring up in my community.
That's fair.
Okay. Well, I feel like people, when they're coming in, they might be looking for tribe, but I think that they're also looking for community.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Community is great as well. But then there are some people, my clients are actually looking for like... friends.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, so, okay. Now with you saying community versus tribe, that has opened up a different perspective on
this how I viewed it.
Yeah, I know, but I like that because that gets me to narrow down how I can help clients in that way. As far as comparing community versus tribe. Mm. Like, what's your view of it? What's your perspective on it?
So you would break it down differently for them too, to know that, okay, how do you even... If you have nobody, how do you start with maybe building a community first? And then maybe from your community, you can increase your access to people that might fit more into your tribe.
Right. And people do come to therapy and they tell me like, yeah, I do hang out with them over there, but we don't like go to brunch together. Mm-hmm. So Brittany is a part of my communities, like in my tribe. Mm-hmm. But some people are part of my community, but definitely not my tribe. It's definitely a difference in
for
my opinion.
Yeah, it definitely is because with community, it's so expansive. And you sometimes have to tolerate people that you wouldn't
have
a real deep personal relationship with. And that's okay.
And but you're speaking facts. The community for me, when I say community, I'm really speaking about Black people. Yeah. My love for Black people. I'm in this space because I enjoy being around Black people. Mm-hmm. But I also love y'all enough to know that, hey, some of y'all cannot be a part of my tribe and I'm going to have to move around.
Yeah.
But I still love you and care about you. There are some things we can do together. Mm-hmm. That's my community.
Mm-hmm. Right. And on top of that, I will say, like, it's really, regardless of community or tribe, like, you still have to be your authentic self.
Oh, right? Fact.
Like, you can't lose.
I'm my authentic self, but I read the room better in the community. Because as you say, consider the audience. Sometimes a part of my community, they don't want to hear what I got to say about what they just said that I think is clearly stupid.
Right. But so, you still don't stop being yourself.
I don't stop being myself. But if they were a part of my tribe, I'd be like, no, what did you just say?
Yeah.
Because that's you don't need to be saying that now.
Right.
So communication-wise, you would navigate it differently.
I've learned to do that because I didn't used to.
Why do you think that's so important that we know what space is what? And to be intentional about how we navigate them differently.
Because you don't want to try to push people into accountability who you don't have that rapport built with.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. That's a big part of it.
I've learned, but I had to learn that. Because accountability is like, I'm always trying to like, you don't need to be saying that. Like, that's wrong. Right.
And on top of that, like, everybody don't have to be taught a lesson.
No, they don't. They don't.
You know?
If they ain't ready for it.
But they be. Right. But if somebody's giving out misinformation, I do be like, it's not right. Mm-hmm. But okay.
Yeah. I start asking questions when they start saying stuff like that. I want you to know what you said was crazy.
Right.
I really do.
I just be like, whoa, that's wild.
That's crazy.
No, tell me more.
Right. Yeah, but no, that's a really good point. Rapport does play a big part. It plays a big part in it for me, too, because without rapport, am I going to be interested in going further?
Right.
In that conversation?
Right.
If there's not rapport or interest on my end, oh, wow, that's crazy. Good to see you, though. Because there are some spaces where you kind of have to keep it that way.
Right, but they're still a part of your community.
Correct. So, hey, good to see you. Let's go get this workout in, though. You know,
so clearly, like, we're talking about the gym as a community.
Y'all definitely are. But this makes me think about, I've heard so many.
Hey, y'all. I don't talk to nobody there, so it's fine.
They don't fuck with y'all.
No, I'm just I do. Playing. I have great friends at the gym. But they are a part of my community.
Right.
And they have their own tribe. And we're part of their community, but we're not necessarily part of their tribe.
Yeah.
But this, as y'all were talking about this, it made me, the accountability piece, it made me think about how some men, because we talk sometimes about men having a hard time calling men out on their behavior.
Oh, girl.
But I've heard a man say, yes, if it's my homeboy,
yeah,
I can tell him, hey, bro, you wrong as hell for that.
Yeah.
You don't need to be cheating on him. If it's just some bros we around, and that ain't my, if he cheating on his old lady, like, that man don't know me.
Mm. That's not the. Of course, he shouldn't do that. I'm not. That makes sense. You shouldn't go tell a person you don't know not to cheat on their wife or girlfriend.
That's just an example. But
there's an element.
It opened it up to me to see, like, oh shit, I guess there are instances where.
Right. Reading the room.
You shouldn't.
I still think they struggle with holding each other accountable, even if they're friends. I still think they struggle with that.
I think a lot of people do, though. But
I think a part of that is, which we've talked about before, is the. Have I tried to address this with you before? Mm-hmm. And how open have you been to not only me, but other people giving you feedback? Mm-hmm. And if it's not safe or if it's not going to be received, why?
I can understand. But I have experienced men try to call a woman out and skip over calling the man out. It's safe. It's easier to call a woman out and hold the woman accountable than to call out somebody who is biologically
of course
the but same I'm, as them.
Well,
yeah. Were you say you had a question?
I had a thought because there was a video went viral. I think it was last year or the year before. This black woman, she was basically saying, like, what is there something about me to where people don't reach out to me to, like, hang out or to, like, be a part of something? And I thought that was really interesting because she's like, I'm kind of the person that gathers people. It's usually me doing that. Mm. And so she kind of was like, is there something about me where people don't think about me to, like, hey, girl, what you doing? Or she doesn't feel like, now that comes up quite a bit.
In therapy?
Yes.
Yeah.
For me as well. And I think it's twofold. One, it could be a you thing, which we might need to
talk
about.
It's also them overcompensating.
It could also be that, because usually the people that are coming into therapy are really empathetic. Yep. They are trying to work on themselves. They care about the people around them. So we see the people disproportionately, the ones who are going to be making probably those kind of efforts.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought that was really interesting. And I felt so bad for her because she was crying and it seemed like from her perspective that she had good relationships with these people, but realized
she get left out.
Yes.
I don't like that for her.
Yeah.
But that does happen.
Yeah.
So it makes me think, solution-wise, that we need to have a mixer with some of our clients.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be dope.
And see, you know, what that would mean for them.
Yeah, because I have clients all the time. Like, I'm trying to find my community. I'm not from here. Like, where can I find the people?
Bumble BFF.
Bumble BFF.
Also, I've heard great things about it.
That's also one way that friendships. Social media can be a good tool. Actually, I've met amazing people on Bookstagram or mm-hmm. who really like or engage with some of the...
Are they a part of your tribe or your community?
Because I don't know them personally mm-hmm. and we haven't met, they're a part of my community.
Okay.
But we could definitely, if I was to travel to those places or yeah. they were to travel here, actually some have been like, yeah, let's, mm-hmm. I'm coming to Houston. Mm-hmm. Can we link up? Others are like, can we collab on an event? Like, I'm trying to get you down here and get this grant. I'm like, shit, say less. I'm there.
You yeah. said it? Miss Introvert?
Did, because I'm growing and expanding.
I love that for you, girlfriend.
Thank you.
I would like to add that I think a barrier to people finding their tribe as being transplants, because we're all transplants, mm-hmm. but we met at new employee orientation. People are now working from home consistently.
Mm, yeah.
I met most of my friends I've met has been at work or at the gym. They went from community to tribe. Now they're part of both. People don't go.
If I hadn't been there at work, I probably wouldn't know anybody. Exactly.
People don't go into the office anymore.
No, that's fair.
So that's something I have noticed. And I always tell my clients, I know you love working from home, but I don't think it's working for you.
Right.
Mental health-wise, socially. Yeah.
Even if you do, there are so many activities, especially here in Houston. But
yes, but at work, you meet so many people in a close proximity.
Well, I was not the one that wanted to make.
So we are friends because me?
Basically.
Well, I will say this. I didn't go into thinking. I don't be thinking about anything. I just be going to do what I got to do.
Me too.
I was obviously over to we're here now. But I'm saying, like, when we went to our respective clinics, it was like, I'm just here to do my work and go home. I'm not.
Well, nobody over there with you.
No, I'm talking about when you were there.
Oh.
So you were there and that's all she needed. Because you was like, come on.
But before then, we still had to do work in order to have this tribe.
No, for sure. There was an interest. It unfolded the way that it did. I think it's great.
It was commonalities. It was HBCU.
Yeah.
And it was us all being therapists and then being Black women.
Yeah.
Those were some of the common interests that kind of kept us in swing.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask y'all, so now that we know kind of how you found your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say are some of the key characteristics that let you know? Because you even talked about the differences in tribe and community.
Mm-hmm.
What are some key differences that you look for in your tribe that reassure you that this is my tribe, this is my safe space?
Reciprocity.
My tribe is kind of set in stone. I don't look for no more people.
Fine, but how do you know? How do you feel reassured in this space?
I'm not.
With your current tribe? You're not secure?
No.
Oh, we got a problem. It's okay.
She's just talking.
Because this is a safe space. I'm open to hearing.
I love that for you. She's just talking.
Yeah.
But reciprocity really is a big one for me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've talked about this, because I'm usually the one like asking questions and like mm-hmm. doing those things. When it comes back to me, I feel at ease. Okay. It's like, oh, somebody thought of me. That's so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
That is great. Especially when I like meet new people. And I try not to, I don't overcompensate in any way, but when there's like an equal interest
mm-hmm.
in what I have going on or linking up for lunch or something like that, when there's versus it being me reaching out to the person,
mm-hmm.
Because if it's mostly me, then I'm quick to be like, oh, okay, I'll see her around. Okay. Or I'll see them around.
And me, I just call people. Because I remember the beginnings of meeting you, I used to call you randomly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that.
And then she would say, why you answer the phone all the time? Because you called.
Well, that's how I'm reading randomly.
I'm surprised you answered. You called.
Yes, she was.
Maybe. Now that you say that.
But that's one thing, too, like that I tell my clients, because you said that they have a hard time sometimes saying or being the ones that reach out. I tell them, you also have to communicate your yes, needs and that reciprocity sure. is a value of yours and that yeah. you're noticing that you're doing more of this and make a not as a you statement or a blame statement, but just to say, hey, this is what my need is,
mm-hmm.
to not make your need clear and to expect them to meet it anyways.
Right.
It's not fair to you or them. And right. you're preventing them from having the opportunity of loving you well in the way that feels like love for you.
No, I agree with that. And I've had those same conversations with my clients too, because usually I will say, like, you got to give people something to work with, right? You can't just sit back and feel like you're so isolated, but you've not given people access to you.
I agree. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that goes with dating as well.
For sure. So there's a responsibility factor of, I tell my clients all the time, like, you have to experience the world. If you don't experience the world, then you won't know where your community or tribe will be. Being at home, yes, that's comfortable. It's safe. But you learn nothing about yourself.
And I think that's what I was getting at when I was saying, like, how do you feel secure in your tribe? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So for me, what reassures me that my tribe is a safe and comfortable place is that I do explore the world and I do different things with y'all. And we mm-hmm. have different conversations and we engage in different activities together. Mm-hmm. And each time we do those things, I feel like I grow in the friendship and as an individual, and my body feels at mm-hmm. ease and comfortable, and I laugh so much. Sometimes my cheeks hurt. And it's just like I literally, it's a visceral feeling. I feel it in my body.
Yeah.
And it just lets me know, even when we don't always get along, because Lord knows we don't always.
I always tell people Black women are spicy, so sometimes we will,
It's love.
It's a little tussle, that's all. Verbal tussle, keep
sarcasm
a little spicy.
Is our love language sometimes. Mm-hmm. It works.
It does. Actually.
But yeah, so those are some things that help me know with y'all or even with new people. How do I feel when I'm around you? Mm. Do I feel like I can be, is it safe to be me? And can I trust you with me?
Right.
Yes.
And I love that because that also means that people have to be safe within themselves to know what it feels like to be safe externally, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of think we got a little lucky. I don't know, because we have
definitely.
A, we have a certain level of intellectual intimacy that I need in order for me to be a part of a tribe. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact the conversations I have with y'all, I cannot have with other people.
Yeah.
And that lets me know that I have found my people. And that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And I am open to meeting new people. I just was talking a while ago. But when I do meet new people, sometimes I'm always like, yep, I got my people.
Yeah.
It's a comparison thing sometimes. Like, yeah.
Right.
I got my people. I call it check and balance.
Yeah. Right. I was check just balance. About to say that because I wonder too, like, I definitely got lucky because I'm not from here, but I went to college. Mm-hmm. I went to PV. And those same people that I went to school with, most of them stayed in Houston, right? So then I didn't have to go searching or look for anything. Now, people's lives have transitioned in different ways. So, like, there was a point where I'm like, okay, I need to nurture other friendships with people who are kind of in a similar space as me. That way, it doesn't feel isolating. You have to be realistic about where you're at
earlier
in life because then you get to operate those friendships still in a deep way, just differently.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Different people for different things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent of categorizing.
And it works.
It works. My life feels expansive in that way because there are some people, we go out, I feel safe with you. When we go out, I know you got my back, but then maybe our conversations aren't that deep, but it's still safe.
But we can kick it.
We can kick it. Exactly. And then there are others where we can be in spaces like this and it's deep conversations and we good. So
we can kick it too.
Right, exactly. So like, yes, you are. I'll force you.
You will.
No, that's not tribal. But yeah, no, I want everybody to have community. I want everybody to feel safe and to feel seen. And it breaks my heart when people don't feel that.
Or they don't have their tribe.
That was it. That's it. I think that's the main goal, the main need that most people are looking for is I want to feel safe and I want to feel seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what our tribe does for us.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
So on that note, go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Sistas in Therapy. That is Sistas in Therapy. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you listen to our show on and give us a review. And as always, go love yourself.